Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
And everyone's grief is different, you know, and you can't even say one is worse than the other. A grandparent who dies, who's lived a long and healthy life, can't be said to be a lesser loss than that of a child. The loss is the loss. And the person feels it, you know, deeply in their soul. For whatever that connection was, they are individual, and each one has to be taken individually.
My mom has stage 4 cancer in her bones and in her breast. My dad's disease was 15 years, he died of ALS. I made a podcast about death, seemed like the thing to do. And if you're sad by all of this, well, you're gonna die too.
Happy week all, or sad week y'all, depending on how you're feeling. If you're new here, I'm Chelsea London Lloyd. I'm the host of the Dying of Laughter podcast, and every week, we interview comedians and funny at heart humans in the entertainment and wellness spaces about the losses specifically of their parents and siblings. If you are recently grieving, so extremely sorry for your loss. And I know that's probably what most people are saying to you, and yet only goes so far. So my hope is these episodes can bring a little bit more relatability and lightness to an otherwise very tragic and difficult time in your life. If you're recently grieving or are anticipating grief, I'd love to hear from you. I'm on Instagram at Dying of Laughter Podcast, or my personal account is at Chels. Who else? That's like Chels. Who else would it be but Chels? Today I posted a sketch I did with the Warp Zone playing Wonder Woman, so that was a trip. That is definitely the closest to Wonder Woman that I will ever get, and it was really fun. Other than that, I'm fully vaccinated, which is incredible news. A lot of my friends are fully vaccinated at this point, and I look forward to everyone being able to receive that very, very soon. Whether or not you're new, thank you for being here. I really appreciate it. And if you like what you hear, leaving a review on Apple Podcasts means the world to me, helps the algorithm, and I read and cherish every single one. Helps a small little biz like me feel really good, and it helps more than you know. Today, we are interviewing Shelley Buck. I'm really, really grateful to have spoken with Shelley, and her story is so important. I think this will really, really resonate. And it's just, it's, you know, her story is heavy, and yet she just speaks with this confidence. You know, she's told this story many times, and she's written this beautiful book about her story. So she has a lot of these nuggets of wisdom tucked in there. Shelley Buck is an author, artist, and jewelry designer who moved from the Midwest to California to follow her dream of working for Disney. And today she opens up about her first son, Ryder, who was diagnosed with cancer when he was 22. He beat cancer only to die in a car accident a few months later. So her lessons in parenting and the power of Ryder's spirit are really, really present throughout this book and this interview. Specifically, her book is called Leave Your Light On, and I read every single page. It was a really profound look into her life and what was going on at the time of this diagnosis. She also has two sons younger than Ryder, so she talks about their point of views as well. Shelley is married to film director Chris Buck, best known for co-directing Frozen, just a little old movie that you may or may not have heard of. It won the Oscar for the Best Animated Feature in 2014, and he also co-directed Frozen 2, which came out in 2019. For context, Chris won the Oscar the year of Ryder's death, so this family was going through a monumental win in winning an Oscar after so many years of dedication to the Frozen project, and yet at the same time was facing this unbelievable tragedy of having lost their son who beat cancer and yet died unexpectedly, like I mentioned, in a car accident. And any mamas out there who've lost a child, this one is especially dedicated to you. Unbelievably remarkable what you have been through, and sending you 1 ounce of strength at a time. Thanks for being here, and I'll see you next week. Thank you so much, Shelley, for being here. We are honoring your son, Ryder, today. I so enjoyed reading this book and marking it up over the week. I have so many questions. And before I ask, I wanted to turn it over to you. In your own words, can you please share some context for this incredible book, Leave Your Light On, and fill in listeners who might not be familiar with Ryder's story?
Well, the way this book got started as an online journal, when my son was 22, he was diagnosed with testicular cancer, stage 4. And I started writing a journal to keep friends and families updated. And through the year that we were going through treatment, because we were joined at the hip, I was with him all the time, I kept this journal, and people said, you know, you should really write a book. And I was like, yeah, but no, you know. And then he was cleared of the cancer, which was wonderful, and had about 6 months of living life to the fullest, absolutely pushing all the boundaries. And then he was hit by a car walking on the freeway from his broken down car. So I continued the journal, and Ryder sent me a message that said, Mom, tell my story. So I couldn't deny him that. I was like, okay, this is the launching pad. We're going to write this book. And the title is the title of the first song he ever wrote, and really his mantra, which was just to leave your light on. And he did that in spades. And, you know, he brought the light out in other people too, because of the way he paid attention to them, really paid attention and really listened. So that's the launch of the book. And we put it out on his, what would have been his 30th birthday last year.
That's beautiful. I'm so glad that you went through and did share this story, because I just couldn't get through it fast enough. I found so many beautiful passages and learned so much about your experience, even having experienced a completely different kind of grief. I just really appreciated your reflections.
Thank you.
Of course. I loved the quote when you said, I was committed to making sure that he lived. He was committed to living in the moment. We both needed to win. I was really intrigued by the duality of Ryder needing you as well as him needing his independence. I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit more about this and how your role shifted throughout this experience.
Well, as a 22-year-old, he was already, you know, pushing away from parents, obviously, but he was still in school. So he was living at our house and being very independent before the cancer. Then once the cancer came, we were, as I said, joined at the hip. I was with him for every day of his inpatient treatment at the hospital, and he would be in for a week and then out for two. And while he was out, you know, he'd be down for a couple of days, but then he was flying. I mean, he didn't want to spend any time at home. He did not want to be reminded of his condition. He didn't want to hear about his condition. So all this information I was gathering from the doctors, I had to find little moments where I could sneak it into a conversation. And he was pretty much, see you, Mom. You know, he wasn't home for dinner or up in the time for a good morning. So my challenge through this whole thing was to learn to let go and let him lead as much as possible. And that was a real challenge. Of course, I was terrified and wanted to know where he was at all times. Well, the only time I had that comfort was when he was in the hospital. So the rest of the time I spent, you know, taking care of him, getting his proper food ready, making sure the dogs were clean and the house was clean. But for much of the time, Ryder was just out hiking and surfing and doing outrageous things in the middle of chemo. You know, he went camping with the wolves one weekend and came home and showed me his phone. And I saw the pictures of the wolves and I kept scrolling, and there was a picture of the Golden Gate Bridge. Now, we live in LA. That's about 6 hours north of us. And that was where he went overnight. So you know, these are the kind of surprises that I had to just deal with a chuckle and go, okay, you're here, you're fine, let's not do that again, you know. But he always found things to stretch himself. And I, you know, he was facing his own mortality. He basically wanted to live life to the fullest. So that was the beginning of our journey.
My goodness. I remember reading that part when you saw the bridge in the background and I was like, oh my gosh, even as someone who is not a mother myself, I could just only imagine you being like, wait, there's chemo happening and you're traveling. I'm from San Francisco, so I'm very familiar with that drive. It's far. It is far. It's not a quick thing. So I love his, you know, his resilience and his spirit, and that he was able to be so involved with the outdoors as well as music. I wanted to bring up music right away since it's such an ever-present theme in the book and clearly your family's lives. Would love to hear a little bit more about your own relationship with music and Ryder's band.
Oh, well, I've recorded, a video recorded every gig they ever did. And so I have hours of Ryder recorded, you know, and I was just looking at some of it before we got on because I like to get in touch with him. So I was his biggest cheerleader and, you know, I helped with getting people together for the gigs, you know, putting it out on Facebook and telling my friends and making sure his friends all knew. As far as the music goes, after Ryder passed, he had recorded some songs and in a studio. So we took them and had them produced into his first CD. Now, there were a couple of other songs that he had recorded that didn't get on that CD. And we ended up recording two more CDs with his brothers, each who are vocally trained, singing Ryder's parts. And then there were a couple of cover songs on each of those CDs that Ryder did sing. So there's a little bit of him in all of them. And most of the songs are originals that he wrote. So I really enjoyed that process, you know, keeping him alive through his music.
That's beautiful. And I love that there was lyrics included in the book, and as well as, you know, there's videos and his music's available online. So I was able to check that out while I was reading. And I think that's wonderful that it's available. And clearly he's so talented. So I'm so glad that's there. Yeah. And I love that it inspired the name of the book as well. So,
well, that really is the theme of the book. And it just made so much sense. As soon as we made that connection, it was like, this is where we're going with this. This is the story he wants us to tell. He wants people to find that light within themselves and nurture it. And that was what he was doing when he was off and running. He was nurturing his own light, his spirit, and keeping himself connected to this greater force, God, if you will. I think it helped get him through the chemo and through the cancer. So living large was part of his medicine.
Absolutely. Since you were so involved, of course, in his cancer journey, you know, that must have been very difficult for you as well. I know that my mom really struggled as a caretaker taking care of my father when he had ALS. I'm wondering what you did or what you do for yourself in the face of tragedy, and what advice you might have for other moms and caretakers going through, you know, the most difficult thing that you can experience.
Well, the tragedy didn't come until he passed. The cancer was, looking back, it was a walk in the park. I mean, not for Ryder, but as far as that passage, the cancer, I had to take time out for myself, which was very difficult. Most of what I did was write, and the writing was very cathartic, and it helped me organize my thoughts and recognize my feelings. I tried to get out for walks, but I had two other sons at the time and a household to run and multiple dogs. So there wasn't a lot of Shelley time. And after Ryder passed, I spent a lot of time with people. People came to the house and it really soothed me and helped me just to be in the presence of other people who were willing to listen to stories or tell me stories about Ryder. And I don't recall spending a lot of time doing Shelley stuff. I did go to one yoga class with a girlfriend because it sounded like a good idea at the time. And immediately, or halfway into the class, they started playing a song in the background that Ryder had played at some of his gigs. Well, I lost it. I had to leave the room. I had to compose myself before I could come back in. There were just not a lot of things where I was capable of being out in the world. So I did what I could.
Well, thank you for your honesty there and the anecdote about being with people. There's a few moms in particular that I can think of who might be listening to this, who have lost a child, one to cancer and one to suicide. And just again, I wanted to give you the microphone again for other moms who might have just received news about the diagnosis of cancer or something else with their child, or who have lost a child. I know that's two different groups. What might you say to those women?
If you're about to go into a battle like cancer, taking a deep breath and getting all the information you can, remaining positive, staying in very close communication with the doctor, whether Ryder would listen to it or not, I knew the information and it helped me. What else would I suggest? Well, do take time out to care for yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's a tall order. It sounds easy, but it's, you know, getting up and taking a shower in the morning and having your coffee in a quiet moment before you start the crazy race is self-medicine. Just don't forget that you and the rest of your family, if there's more to your family, spouse or children, they need you to be fully you, as well as the split that happens when your heart and soul and everything else is with that person going through the challenge. After I found ways to memorialize Ryder, we put, we did the three CDs over several years, we put a bench up on his favorite mountaintop where he used to go and play and meditate and write lyrics. What else did we do? We followed in his footsteps on a trip to Bali that he had taken his last summer and spread some of his ashes there because it's his favorite place on earth. What else? Just as many ways as you can, you know, memorialize a person, it helps.
I love that. And creating those memories and experiences, it sounds like, mm-hmm. was really nice. I'm also curious, since a lot of people listening are perhaps in their 20s or 30s, who maybe lost a parent or a sibling to cancer. I know these are different groups, but I feel it's really interesting to relate to people with different kinds of grief experiences in its own way. What might you say to someone whose parent or sibling is pulling away or behaving unusually or in a different way because of a diagnosis they might be experiencing? I know you talked about Ryder's, you know, different moods sometimes. And is there something you might say to those people based on the experience that you had?
Ryder really needed his solitude, and the pulling away was critical time for him to look internally, to find his peace with the universe, to contemplate his own mortality. All of those things are really big, and he needed to be given the time and space to explore those bigger questions. Of course, I wanted him to be engaging with me all the time, and I've always been more energetic than Ryder. You know, I mean, he did a lot, but he did it in a very mellow way. So our personalities were opposite for sure. So giving them the space, I think, is important. Making sure they have the information they need, but you have to be very careful about dispensing it. I had to find him in a quiet place where maybe he was preoccupied with feeding himself or feeding his dog or some quiet time where I could get that information into him. Is that it?
Yes. Thank you. That's very helpful. I wonder what it's been like for you over the years. You are someone who you come across very well spoken and having this perspective on everything and having wrote a book. Do you find yourself receiving calls from other friends or family members when another tragedy comes? And what has it been like supporting other people, perhaps if their own child has a cancer diagnosis? Or I'm curious if anyone that you know personally closer to your age has a cancer diagnosis and what that brings up for you.
Well, it definitely brings up the memories of what I went through. Every situation and every person is so different.
I'm just curious how, you know, your own relationship with other people having cancer has evolved. Like, is it hard when like someone your age is struggling with cancer and maybe you think like, well, having your son have it is harder than what you go through? Or like, do you have any thoughts like that?
Oh, no. Everyone's grief is different, you know, and you can't even say one is worse than the other. You know, a grandparent who dies, who's lived a long and healthy life, you know, can't be said to be a lesser loss than that of a child. The loss is the loss. And the person feels it, you know, deeply in their soul. For whatever that connection was, they are individual and each one has to be taken individually. I do have a peer who died of cancer and I'm still in touch with his wife and there's just an understanding between us. It kind of goes unspoken. I mean, we comfort each other with our presence, but there haven't been any deep talks, you know, about the loss. It's just an understanding. So sometimes silence is absolutely fine. Sitting with someone in silence or offering a story about the person that they're mourning is good. But there's very little that can be said other than I'm sorry. You know, that's pretty much it in a nutshell. And then just sitting with them and listening to them if they want to speak. If they don't want to speak, just being a presence. And that was what I found so comforting, was having people around. My husband needed solitude. We were totally different in the way we handled things. And he had to take a trip up the coast and go camping right after Ryder passed. I mean, he asked me if he could take 4 days and go. And like, sure, because I know that's what you need, you know, and I'll have people around me and that's what I need. So we went about it very differently.
I love that you mentioned that. And thank you for offering that. Each loss is so different and, you know, not comparing the different kinds. I feel like that comes up. People ask me about that sometimes, I just lost a grandparent and like, I feel bad feeling bad because I know you lost your dad. And I'm like, no, like this is your first big challenge. And, you know, it just, everything is different. We'll just leave it there. Like, I do think some things have more impact, but do I wish that people at a very young age experience like the greatest tragedy of their life? No, I don't. So we're all on a different page. And thank you for being able to say that and support everyone with where they're at. This is something I normally ask at the beginning, and just to jump timelines for a second, I do ask everyone who comes on this podcast about their goldfish moment. And the goldfish moment is the first time you thought about or conceptualized death in some way. For some people, it was their goldfish. Goldfish moment. Did your goldfish die? Goldfish moment. Did it make you cry?
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Is there a memory you have as a child when you first understood what death was?
Wow. There was a dog going across the street that got hit by a car in front of me. And that impacted me. I was probably 7 or 8. And that impacted me so deeply. I cried for that dog for days. The loss of animation, the loss of life is, and I loved all animals, you know, so this was a tragedy for me, and it wasn't even my dog. I didn't know the dog, but it was a tragedy. And I also remember going to the bullfights when I was about 12 with my uncle who took me to Europe, and I was just beside myself. It was so cruel and so horrible. And that was another, before I lost any humans in my life, that was another death moment that really impacted me.
Thank you for sharing that. I always find it so interesting. It tends to be around that age, like between like 7 and 11, right? Everyone's mm-hmm. like, oh, my first memory was something like that. And it's just interesting. So I'm sorry for that little dog. But I love that you clearly have been, you talk about dog in the book and you said you have several dogs, so happy to hear dogs are a part of your world. How many dogs do you have right now?
We have four.
Oh, four. Amazing. Oh my
four
gosh.
Dogs, from a Chihuahua all the way up to a Golden Retriever and a couple of sizes in between. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. Three of them are rescues, and the Golden Retriever we bought to be a therapy dog. And that's what he does now. He goes to Children's Hospital, LA, before the pandemic. Now we do Zoom visits with Yogi.
Oh my goodness. That is so amazing. Do the kids just love him? That sounds
they
so sweet. They
do. And I'll tell you, this all goes back to Ryder as well, because when he was in treatment, his favorite day of the week was Wednesday, the days that they brought the dogs. And when he was diagnosed, we happened upon a Golden Retriever, which was his favorite dog, and he'd never had one, that needed a home. So he called it his cancer dog, and he wanted to take Bear to the hospitals when he got well and make a therapy dog out of him. So when we got Yogi, his youngest brother became Papa to Yogi, and we trained him and we take him to the hospital in Ryder's memory.
Wow. Okay. I'm so glad that that was shared. That's such a beautiful image, and how cool and bizarre that all of these Zoom opportunities exist. What is a Zoom visit like with Bear, if you don't mind me asking?
Okay. Well, this one's Yogi.
Oh, excuse me.
The Yogi. First one was Bear.
Okay.
Bear passed a couple of years after Ryder did. Yogi is very good. You know, he really knows when it's time. We go out and we sit in one place on the patio. We have a bag full of his kibble, and I have my phone, and we just have him sit in front of the phone. We'll have him go into the pool and swim for the treats, and the kids love that. But he's very calm, just like he is when we get ready to go to the hospital. He has a special kerchief, and he just changes his demeanor completely and cooperates.
I love that. That's so wonderful. And I love that the ways that you've continued to show up in these spaces for Ryder and in honor of Ryder over time. I'm curious how your grief has evolved over time. How do you feel today versus how you felt at the time of the accident? Certainly things shift and evolve, but is there something that comes to mind around the evolution for you?
Wow. Well, in the beginning, I was petrified. I mean, I was stuck still in one place, unable to think, move, do. I was furious. I was furious with God. I couldn't fathom the whole thing. There was no understanding it. And I was a wreck. And through continuing to write in that online journal through Caring Bridge and by memorializing Ryder in all of these ways and continuing to watch his videos and hang his pictures and talk to people, gather stories about him. You know, we put a lot of them in the book, and writing the book really took me from being absolutely stuck to being able to function in the world in a pretty good way. I mean, I've got my humor back, and my youngest son is a stand-up comedian. So there's plenty of opportunity to laugh, and we do find the fun in it.
Yeah. And I love that Reed's a stand-up comedian. That's amazing. As one myself, I would love to see more of his work. I wanted to ask you about Woody and Reed and how their grief might have been different, if you noticed similarities, and how you showed up for your two other sons.
Definitely. Woody had been away at college for the last couple of years of Ryder's life. Mm-hmm. So, when he got the news, he was studying abroad in Europe, and he was a wreck. I mean, he had that long flight home, you know, and he got here. When I had him on the phone to tell him, he was so angry. He was angry at the drivers. He was angry at Ryder. He came home and he wanted to know who was responsible, were drugs involved, what was, you know. And his grief, I think he wrapped it up at the service. He had the opportunity to speak, and he quoted from a play he had done just the week before. And it was very poignant, and I couldn't do it justice to explain it right now, but it was really about not mourning for someone who is now in heaven, because that's, why would you? That's the paraphrase of it. It was a lovely Shakespearean passage, but I can't do it. But Woody has had a more internal struggle. And I'm not sure he's even let go of his anger yet. But he did summarize it that way. And you know, and he sang a song at the service that was Ryder's favorite song from Hercules. And then he sang on the albums that we produced. So he processed kind of quietly and slowly and in his own way. Reed was, he dropped out of college, and he wasn't in college yet. Ryder died when he was still in high school. But then after he graduated, he just didn't see purpose in life. He was like, why should I do anything? Why? I mean, it could end tomorrow. So what's the point? And he was stuck there for a while. And then he found comedy, and he found that he could laugh, and that it surprised him, because he didn't think he'd ever enjoy life again. And when he started doing stand up and writing his own jokes, he just transformed, went back to school, is finishing up this semester.
Congratulations. That's amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he is, I think, at peace. You know, we talk about Ryder all the time in our house. I can't keep my mouth shut. So that's just how that goes. But we do remember funny things he did and outrageous things he did. And we laugh about those, you know, so. Maybe that touches on the question you asked before.
Yeah, it does. Thank you. I remember there was a quote too about your husband sort of seeing Ryder as the star of a sitcom, a hospital sitcom, like all these things coming up in the hospital and stuff like that. So
Right. Oh yeah, we can look back on those things and laugh now. But there's one story in the book about him doing Pilates in the lobby at midnight. Okay, what? You know, what about your own room? You know, what about the floor of your room? No, he had to do it in the lobby. I don't know what he was thinking. But just things like that, you know. He took his chemo drip outside, which it's not allowed off the floor. He took it all the way down the elevator and outside with his guitar and was playing songs to the stars and, you know, just being himself. And those are some of the things I told you were so healing for him, but totally off limits, completely verboten. And, you know, we just had to laugh.
I love that Pilates image so much. I mean, good for him. He was just doing his own thing. Did he always have that kind of streak in him since he was a child to march to that beat?
Yes. Ryder always had his own drummer, and he was and self-contained as a young boy. He was kind of shy. He grew into an extroverted clown and performer, but when he was young he kept to himself. He was very observant. He could entertain himself endlessly with his little dinosaurs or musical instruments that were around the house.
I love that his passions continued on, and wonderful. I love that you and your family members, including Grandma Dot, at age 84, got tattoos in his honor. That was such a beautiful image. Can you tell us that story?
It's Ryder went to Bali. He knows how I feel about tattoos. I think they're permanent, and no good reason to do anything permanent. You change your hair, you change your jewelry, you change your clothes. You're not going to want the same thing on your body forever. That was the way I felt about it then. He came home, and at the airport, I noticed this mark on his arm. And I said, oh, tattoo? He goes, oh, Mom, it's not permanent. It's temporary. I'm like, okay, right. So a few days later, I'm like, temporary, huh? He goes, I was going to tell you eventually, Mom. You know, this is his sense of humor, just being Ryder. But after he passed, I took the same image, which is the Balinese Om, and got it tattooed on my arm. But I took my mother, who's now 91 and still has her tattoo because it's for life.
Amazing.
And my sister and two of his band members and my sister-in-law. So we all marched into the tattoo parlor and we gave him this design and said, this is what we want. You know, and he did them all in one day, in one fell swoop.
I love that. And I love that your mother was that tattoo parlor's oldest customer, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes.
So amazing. I just love it. Did it hurt? What was the physical experience?
It was sort of like a wire brush on skin. So it was uncomfortable, but it wasn't like a zillion little needle pricks. It didn't feel like what I expected it to feel like. It really was slightly annoying, but nothing worse than that. And dozens of his friends sent me pictures of where they had had that same image tattooed on their bodies after they heard about ours.
Wow. Oh my goodness. It's a tattoo mission. I love it. Yeah. There's all these tattoos.
Oh, he influenced people. He really did. He had a strong following of friends and cohorts.
I love that. That's so beautiful. And I loved throughout the book, I just wanted to compliment the stylistic choice of having inserts of different friends and family members' thoughts, as well as writer's journal entries and lyrics sprinkled throughout the chapters. I thought that was really well done and interesting.
Well, thank you. You know, my husband and I realized after Ryder passed that we hadn't known but about 25% of who he was in the world. Mm-hmm. Until we started getting these stories, and we put out cards at his service and asked people to just jot down a memory. Well, we got them that day. We got them in the mail. We got them dropped off. And there were so many rich, beautiful stories. And only a few of them made it to the book. But they all talked about how, you know, there was either a funny memory or a way that Ryder really touched people.
I love that. That's beautiful. And yeah, it was so nice to like, you know, you're learning what's going on. And then like this nice story would be peppered in throughout. So I love that so much.
Good, thank you.
You're welcome. So your husband's film Frozen was scoring off the charts around the world at such a difficult time in your personal life. I also loved Chris's tribute to Ryder at the Oscars. And I just wonder, can you talk a little bit more about what that duality was like to have this professional success with this personal tragedy?
It was a surreal time. I mean, I was so completely wrapped up in my grief and missing having his presence in the house. And Chris was having to go to party after awards banquet after one after another. And fortunately, I didn't have to go to most of them. But when I did, I focused completely on my husband and the moment, which is what Ryder always said, be in the moment, Mom, you know, be in the moment. And so I did, I compartmentalized my brain and got all dolled up and went to the Oscars and had a marvelous time. And, you know, how could it not be great? He won, you know? So we celebrated and then I went back to my grief. And it was both and, you know, neither could be ignored.
Wow. I mean, Shelley, that is a lot. And I'm sure, you know, you have been told this millions of times, but the film is truly so incredible. And the fact that its music has touched the lives of people all over the world. I'm just absolutely blown away. And what an amazing, amazing, amazing film. So huge congrats to your family on this success.
Thank you. And I have to say in Frozen 2, there is a character named after Ryder, and he's this mellow, laid back, romantic, perfect cartoon of my son. And his name is Ryder Natura. And then there's a song that was also partially inspired by Ryder and our journey called The Next Right Thing, where Anna thinks she's lost everyone and she just has to pick herself up and do the next right thing. And when I saw the movie, I hadn't heard the song. I saw the movie and I was sitting with Chris and I went, was that written for me? Because it went right to my heart and was really overwhelming. So
that is amazing. I've seen Frozen 2 as well. Also fantastic film. I'll have to rewatch it. I need to go back and look for the Ryder character. That's amazing. Like, what a beautiful tribute.
And there's another, I have to say this, there's on Disney Plus, there's the making of Frozen 2, and they talk about that song, but there's also a 10-minute segment in episode 3 on Ryder, and lots of video clips of him, and they just talk about, you know, how he inspired the song and the character, and they just did a little thing on Ryder, which was really nice. So that's episode 3 on Disney Plus.
Perfect. Thank you for plugging that. I cannot wait to check that out. And then for anyone listening, that sounds like a wonderful thing to take a look at. I didn't know that there was a making of, and those are always so fascinating, but
fascinating. And
now,
you know, I was right there in the bleacher seats for the whole thing, but watching from within, you know, it was fascinating to me, and I'm inundated with it on a daily basis, but this was still a wonderful series.
Wonderful. I love that so much. And yeah, thank you for sharing about the high highs and the low lows. I mean, it's true. I mean, that's just so much at once. I mean, this huge culture changing film and then this huge personal experience. I mean, I'm just in awe that all of that was going on at a similar time. You must have been asked so many questions.
I have to tell you another little story. At the Golden Globe Awards, I wasn't invited. They didn't invite spouses, but Chris was seated back to back with Alex Ebert, who's the leader of Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros. They had never met, but Alex was so important in Ryder's cancer journey and the last week of his life to the point where some of his band members even came and played in writer's service. But they met, and this was, you know, Alex knew, obviously, that Ryder had passed, and so they got to meet and talk, and it was lovely, and they both won that night, which was wonderful. So,
I mean, how beautiful is that? Were they seated next to each other? Just, I wonder, was there a connection?
Randomly,
just...
unless you want to give Ryder the credit, which I do.
Oh, even better. Wow. I mean, some things like that, you just look at that, and you're just like, there it is, you know, there's the sign. It's just, it's wonderful. You must have been asked just so many questions around that time. Did you ever find it, or do you find it exhilarating, or is it frustrating sometimes to answer so many questions about that time, as well as your son and then winning and Frozen and all of that? Like, or do you feel like it's part of your story? And I just wonder what it's like for people to have that much success and be asked so many of the questions over and over again.
You know, it's part of my story, and I'm never sorry to talk about Ryder, and I'm very proud of my husband. So these are all good things, you know? So you want to know about Ryder, ask away, because I could talk about him for hours on end. And, you know, again, I'm so proud of what my husband has collaboratively put out into the world. We get letters and emails all the time from people who say, you know, their lives were saved by Elsa, you know, and I mean, really on the brink of suicide, people who really resonated with her story, and children who hadn't talked, you know, suddenly they were singing, you know, Let It Go. And it made a huge impact on people around the world. So I'm very proud of him too.
Oh, that, I mean, huge is an understatement. It's like, it's, you know, it's one of the most prolific films of all time. And yeah, what an honor to speak with you, and huge congrats again to your husband and your family on being such an integral part of changing culture.
Thank you.
I'm wondering if there's a particular resource that comes to mind. Was there a book, film, or online article or program that influenced you in some way pertaining to your grief?
I have great books that I would recommend now.
That counts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And my co-author actually wrote Invisible Ink, which is a lovely memoir of her mother after she passed, writing letters to and from one another. It's really an amazing little quick book to read, but it's very powerful and very hopeful. The music inspired me to keep going. Ryder's music really helped. That's pretty much it. Get me through my grief. That's what I did.
I love that. Thank you so much. So my mother has stage 4 breast cancer and has for a few years. And, you know, that's the inspiration for doing things like this. And I volunteer as a grief counselor. I just gave a foot of hair to children's cancer, et cetera.
Oh, nice.
Thank you. It actually, yeah, it was a big deal. It was really, really long, and
right.
I threw it out.
Oh, I know. That's a great gift.
Thanks. You know, you do the little things to feel like you have control when you don't, and you know.
Right. Exactly.
Yes. But since, you know, my dad died of ALS, and so this is my second parent. Thank you. With an illness. And I just wonder, as a mother yourself, if there's something that comes to mind as a way that I could show up for my own mom through her own difficult journey. And that's okay if you don't want to answer, but I thought maybe it would be interesting to ask.
Well, I think I've covered some of the things. I mean, being there with her, you know, and if she wants to talk, great. If she doesn't want to think about death, Ryder and I never discussed it when he was going through treatment. I know he must have thought about it. He was growing exponentially, spiritually and maturity wise, because I know he was thinking about his own death, but we never discussed it because I didn't want it to be a possibility. So we'd never entertained it as a possibility, but that may not be the case with your mother. She may really want to talk about the possibility or the eventuality. I'm going through that with my mother now two. She's not sick. She's 91, you know, and she talks about dying. And instead of going, oh, mom, don't say that, I try to lead her into conversing about it, you know, saying what's on her mind. So it's very individual.
Great. Where can people find you online and connect with you and purchase the book?
Well, they can go to leaveyourlightonbook.com. The book is the important part. You've got to get the title and the word book. And there are links there to purchase. You can go directly to Amazon and look up Leave Your Light On if you're an Amazon user. If not, there are other links on that website. It also links to writer's website where you can see videos and lyrics and so on. And there is a contact page there. So if anyone wants to email me with questions or comments or anything, they can contact me through leaveyourlightonbook.com.
That's perfect. Well, thank you again, Shelley, for sharing your story. It was so great to hear more about Ryder from your point of view after reading the book. And I just am really appreciative of getting to speak with you today. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you so much, Chelsea. It was really a wonderful opportunity and I enjoyed your moderating.
Thank you. Thank you, Shelley. Yodo, you only die once.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.